Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday, January 9th edition of the MMA Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Crazy, eh? Like, we're already done the 3rd of January, and this year's going by really fast. Anyways, I got to mention, I did a podcast yesterday with Cole Sheldon, breaking down and recapping the best of the 2010s decade. That was a really cool podcast. Go back and check that out. Man, so much happened this decade, you know, but in the UFC, my personal life, everything. So 10 years goes by fast, but there's so much that happens in 10 years as well. So definitely go back and check that podcast out from yesterday. Let's get to today's news. All right, first thing I'm going to start with, Mike Perry. He's come under fire for his use of the N-word, which obviously is not a very bright idea. Stupid. It really is stupid. He said this stuff in the past. I remember he had some kind of feud going with Tyron Woodley at one point and said it to him. But now he's going after Michael J. White and use the N-word again. Just dumb, just really dumb, you know. And Mike Perry's obviously not the brightest guy, but at the same time, like, he is a professional athlete who fights in one of the biggest sports in the world and one of the biggest sporting organizations in North America. Like, you think he would be a little smarter than this? And first off, I don't agree with his comments, and second off, why hasn't the UFC said anything? You know, well, go on and make a statement saying we don't condone this kind of behavior. If just go to like the NHL or something and say, like, you know, Alex Ovechkin or something, like, said the N-word on his Twitter. Like, of course he would be in trouble, man. You know, or NFL or MLB, it doesn't matter. It's stupid, you know. I don't agree with what Mike Perry saying. Angela Hill went after him a little bit, saying, like, you know, what you're saying is wrong, and it is. So to me, like, he's got what's coming for him, because what he said was bad. You know, you can't say that kind of stuff. It's just 2020. You can't go on the internet and say the N-word. It's really stupid, you know. Mike Perry says, you know, people are going to be offended by anything. I do agree with Mike Perry in the sense that people do get offended by everything these days. But in this particular instance, I think it's okay. You know, especially you know, people that are hurt by that word. So to me, it's just stupid. And again, you know, it just speaks to the bigger issue of, like, the UFC not, you know, doing anything about it. Like, I remember Matt Mitrione said something about Fallon Fox years ago, and he got suspended or something. You know, you see once in a while the UFC will give a slap on the wrist to people, but for the most part, I feel like UFC fighters get away with a lot, you know. And I get they're independent contractors, and I get that, you know, it's the fight game, and they're going to say stuff, and fighters will say stuff that is not the nicest thing. But, you know, in this particular case, I mean, it's kind of stupid, right? So to me, it's like, does he get suspended? Probably not. You know, they like Mike Perry. That's the thing. Like, they want to see him back in the cage. They like him. They want him to fight often for the UFC. But at the same time, you know, you got to go and tell the guy what you wrote was not a very bright idea. And you should definitely issue an apology, saying that you're sorry you hurt people's feelings, because he did. So, you know, for him to go and kind of double up on it now, it's really dumb. And, you know, I'd like to say I expect more from Mike Perry, but honestly, I don't. But it's pretty stupid. Let's cut some comments here. Boo-hoo. Yeah, I mean, listen, man, like, does it offend me personally? Not necessarily, but I definitely can see why it offends other people, you know, so I know what you're saying. And then comment, Kinshira Juju, Mike needs to stop defending himself to every troll who signal flags everything he says. I only saw him respond to Angela Hill, who's a UFC fighter as well. And obviously, he's not going to go back from his comments. So, you know, again, like, for me personally, it doesn't affect my life, but, you know, I can see why it affects other people's life. It wasn't the brightest idea, guys. I think you can admit that. Anyways, move on to the next thing. UFC 246 press conference has been released. It's going to take place next Wednesday in Las Vegas at the Palms Casino Theater. If you guys are in Vegas, tickets are free and open to the public, so definitely go. It's going to be sweet. Anytime Conor McGregor does a press conference, it's always fun. So especially with Cerrone, I think there's going to be a lot going on there. I hope that the reporters there ask Conor some tough questions, like ask him about, you know, the sexual assault allegations, ask him about the other stuff that's been going on outside the octagon. I have a feeling they're not going to ask him about it. But for me, you know, if I was there, I would ask those tough questions. But maybe that's why I'm not at these pressers anymore. Like, I used to ask really tough questions, you know, and I don't think Dana White liked it too much. I remember one time I was asking about Bellator, and I don't think he was too happy about that, but it is what it is, you know. I just hope that the people that do go do ask him, you know, some tough questions. Also, I got to mention my friend James Lynch. You guys know him. He his role's changed, apparently, at the Score. And, you know, James does such a great job at these events. And I think he does ask some of the better questions there. He's not going to be covering the events for the time being. And I hopefully he can get back in there at some point. Because without James, honestly, like, I'm not too confident the questions we're going to hear, guys, these pressers are actually tough questions. I think you're going to hear a lot of, like, low-ball questions and just easy questions to answer, you know. So I'd really like to see some guys there that are going to ask some tougher questions. It is what it is. Let's do Ben Askren next. Ben Askren. So I've talked about this in the past. He wants to do MMA commentary. And apparently Ben Askren is going to be trying – he did try out actually already for the ESPN commentary team, which I think is a great idea. I think Ben Askren behind the mic is always good. And I think he's going to do really well if he does get this gig with ESPN. I'm assuming it's going to be covering MMA, but maybe it's going to be covering college wrestling as well. I think both things would be great for Ben Askren. You know, love or hate Ben, the guy is really good on the mic, and he's a very smart, intelligent guy. He's very good and very smart about techniques and explaining them to people. So I think this is a really good fit, personally. You know, we'll see if he gets the job, but, he can't be any worse than Dominic Cruz, right? Like, Dominic Cruz, he's just the most biased guy to listen to. I think Ben would be a lot better, personally. All right, let's get to some fight announcements here. UFC 247. Okay, by the way, the bout order was released for UFC 247. And honestly, bout order doesn't matter that much. You know, it's just the bout order. But why the hell is Juan Adams versus Justin Taff on the main card? Are you kidding me? That fight has no reason to be in the main card. It's the third fight up. So the main card for UFC 247, that's next month in Houston. Jones versus Reyes, obviously, is the main event, and then co-main Shevchenko, Chukagian. But then you have Taffa and Adams, and these guys are coming off losses. Why was that on the main card? Then you got Bektic Ige, which is a really good fight, and then Lewis Latifi. I think that's a good fight too. So, you know, four of the five fights are fine, but why is Juan Adams versus Justin Taffa on the main card? When you got a fight like Jimmy Rivera versus Marlon Vera buried on the prelims, it's really strange. Even like Morono Lima, I think that's going to be a really fun fight. And even this guy, Miles Johns, buried way on the early prelims. So kind of strange. Anyways, also added to that card, we have a bantamweight bout between Domingo Pilarte and Jermyn Newsom. So that's a new fight added to this card. Domingo Pilarte, he is coming off a loss to Felipe Corrales by split decision. That surprised a lot of people, including myself. He was a pretty big favorite there. Lost a splitter there to Corrales. And overall, he is 8-2 in his career. He was on a five-fight win streak before that, including a win over Vince Morales at the Contender Series. And now he will be taking on Jermyn Newsom. So that guy's a pretty cool name. And yes, he actually was named after the famous rock band, which is kind of hilarious. But yeah, Jermyn Newsom, 9-2 record. He is coming off loss as well, but to Ricardo Ramos, who's a really, really good fighter. Before that, won 6 straight fights. So a very close fight here for sure. I kind of lean towards Newsom, though. I just think that he is the better fighter. I wasn't impressed at all with Pilarte in that fight. Switching gears, UFC Auckland. I think this card's almost full, but they got a couple fights added up, including this one between Loma Lukbunmi, who is actually a pretty good prospect at women's 115. She's 4-1 in her career, coming off a nice win over Alexander Albu by split decision. She looked good in that fight, overall 4-1, like I mentioned. And then Hannah Goldie's her opponent here, 5-1. She's coming off a loss to Miranda Granger. Wasn't too impressed with her there. She did come off the Contender Series. She had that win over Kaylee Robbins. I don't know. I wasn't too impressed with her against Granger or Robbins, to be quite frank. I don't think she's really UFC caliber. I kind of lean towards Lukbunmi in this fight, especially since she'll be fighting close to home. Also on that card, we got Mackie Pitolo, Coconut Bombs, taking on Takashi Sato. Mackie Pitolo, 12-5. He's coming off a really ugly loss to Callum Potter. He should have won that fight, guys. And it was a bad loss, and Potter was a pretty big underdog, if I'm not mistaken. Before that, he won 3 straight fights, including a nice win over Justin Sumter in the Contender Series. He does have experience fighting for Bellator. So he is a dangerous guy, but man, that loss to Potter really disappointed me. Like, that's a fight he should have won. Anyways, he takes on Takashi Sato here, 15-3 record. Sato's coming off a submission loss to Bilal Muhammad, but did knock out Ben Saunders before that. And overall, he does have quite a few knockouts on his resume. It's an interesting fight here, but I mean, if it's going to be a standing fight, which I think it's probably going to be, you got to figure Pitolo a little bit. I'm just disappointed with the guy after that performance. And the last fight announcement here, UFC Columbus, Randy Costa against Martin Day. Randy Costa coming off a nice win, 5-1 overall in his career, coming off a nice win over Boston Salmon. Pretty much got him out of the UFC with that knockout. He did lose to Brandon Davis by submission in his debut, but bounced back nicely with that win over Salmon. And he'll be taking on Martin Day here. Martin Day's 9-3 in his career. He is coming off a loss to Ping Wan Liu by split decision. Before that, he won three straight fights. A lot of people have told me this guy is very talented, but I didn't see it in that fight with Liu, who's barely clinging on a roster spot himself. This guy's obviously got to win this fight to stay in the UFC. Kind of leaned towards Costa, though, after that last win. He looked pretty good in it. So we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, some good fights coming up. Just still scratching my head about that Taffa Adams fight being in the main card. Like, that's just really strange. There's a few other things to mention here. I saw this earlier. Charles Oliveira, he wants Justin Gaethje or Kevin Lee at UFC Brasilia. So right now, from what I saw, like I said the other day, Sherdog had the main event list as Elizeu Zaleski de Santos versus Lee, or versus, who was it? Elizeu Zaleski. Sorry, guys, one sec. I forgot who it was. He just fought Li Jingming, and his next fight is against Alexei Kachenko. That's the fight. So that's what Sherdog said was the main event. I don't think that's a good main event. You know, I'd rather see Damian Maia versus Gilbert Burns as the main event. But if that's going to be the co-main event, then there could be a spot for main event. And now DuBronx says he wants Justin Gaethje or Kevin Lee. Listen, I love DuBronx. And listen, he deserves a step up. Like, this guy, he's been fighting guys like Jared Gordon, who are way ranked below him. And that fight didn't make any sense. But with a six-fight win streak, with all six wins by stoppage, it's time for him to get a top 15, at least a top 15, if not a top 10 opponent. I do think fighting a guy like Gaethje is a bit more than this guy can chew, though. Like, that's a tough fight for Charles Oliveira. Like, if Gaethje fights Oliveira, you have to go with Gaethje by knockout in the first round. Kevin Lee, same thing, most likely. But Kevin Lee, he could go to the ground with this guy. And if the fight goes to the ground, you know, Oliveira has the ability to submit him. I know his striking's looked a lot better. I've been very impressed with it. But honestly, if he fights Gaethje, that's a terrible matchup for him. But I will say this. Like, I am crediting this guy and his team for saying, hey, you know what? Let's give me the tough guys here. You know, this guy's been fighting guys like Jared Gordon and Nick Lentz, who are decent fighters, but really not, you know, anything close to the top 15. And he wants to step up now. So I can respect the fact that he's looking for a step up. But at the same time, I just think those particular matchups are not the greatest matchups for him. But we'll see what happens there. Also, Jimmy Smith, I just saw this morning. Jimmy Smith went after Big John McCarthy, not like in a horrible way or anything like that. Like, he says he respects him and everything, but he just basically disagrees completely with what Big John said about MVP and Anderson Silva. Like, and I think a lot of us feel the same way. These comments were pretty ridiculous. You know, I love Big John. I think Big John is, you know, maybe the greatest referee of all time, one of the greatest minds in MMA of all time. He is a brilliant guy. But what he's saying about MVP and Anderson Silva's records being very comparable is so ridiculous. Like, it just shows that this guy obviously works for Bellator now. Like, what he was saying just doesn't make sense. You know, he's like, oh, if you look at their careers, they're very comparable. I'm going to go do a really quick comparison right now, guys. But it doesn't make sense. Like, okay, so let's just do this quickly. So what Jimmy Smith's argument was, you know, a lot of us forget that Anderson Silva started his career as a welterweight. Like, and he did. You know, a lot of his early fights were at welterweight. Okay, so if you look at basically Big John's argument was the first 18 fights of Anderson's career were the same as the first 18 fights of Michael Page. Look at some of his opponents. In his first 18 fights, I mean, he's fought two really tough guys, in Paul Daly and Douglas Lima. After that, you got guys like Fernando Gonzalez, who are like, you know, average fighters, or, you know, Nashon Burrell, Ricky Rainey. Like, he's in the UFC, but he's not very good. So really, out of 18 guys, you really have two like high quality fighters. And then you go to Anderson Silva in his first 18 fights, and like, look at some of the names he fought. Carlos Newton, former UFC welterweight champion. Juan Carnero, who fought in the UFC for years. Hayato Mack Sakurai, who was, and Jimmy Smith mentioned this, like the number one welterweight in the world, and Anderson beat him. Also, you got guys like Fabricio Camois. He was in the UFC for a while. Jeremy Horn, who was a longtime UFC fighter. Lee Murray. So, and he gets go up a little bit. Rio Chonin. Jorge Rivera. Anyways, the point is, love Big John, but the comments were ridiculous. And I like how the fact that Jimmy Page did a podcast, or Jimmy Smith, excuse me, not Jimmy Page, Jimmy Smith did a podcast about his comments and just disagreeing with him. I think it was pretty good of him to do that. Pretty noble. You know, now that Jimmy's not with Bellator or the UFC, he's allowed to do this kind of stuff. I'm sure Big John doesn't appreciate it, but you know what? Hey, Big John's a commentator now and a podcast host. People are going to disagree with what he said. Anyways, I agree with what Jimmy Smith was saying. All right, so that's it for today's show, guys. Once again, thanks for tuning in. You can check me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. The podcast is available at theoddsbreaker.com. The site's got kind of a new look, so definitely you know, let me know what you think about that. It's Nick and the developers that changed it. I think it looks really good. Also, check me out at bjpenn.com and marings.net as well. No event this weekend, guys, but another weekend off, so just relax, and then we'll be back for UFC 246 next week. All right, guys, have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the podcast. Have a good one. Bye.